agency, one of power, one that gets at how Latinos have not simply waited on, but have acted upon to make this country more democratic and more representative for all.
Professor Hinojosa, we want to thank you for being with us of Baylor University in Texas, and Johanna Fernandez, professor of history at City University of New York, Baruch College. And Juan, thank you so much for your book, Harvest of Empire, Stories of Latinos in America. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
Don't drive high. You could hurt yourself or someone else and get a DUI. Remember to talk to your passengers because it is illegal for them to use cannabis in a vehicle. If you feel different, you drive different. Join the cannabis conversation at cannabis.ny.gov.
And don't swerve to fix the problem right now. Just pull over calmly. It's just about 6 o'clock. You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook, broadcasting at 90.1 FM. And 107.3 FM, as well as over the internet on WUSB.FM. It's currently 6 o'clock on a Tuesday evening. Time, once again, for Off the Wall. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening, joined tonight by Kyle.
Hello.
Well, I guess autumn just arrived. It's like autumn looked at the calendar and said, oh, I'm due, and here I am.
It was just like an on switch.
This whole week, I really enjoyed this last weekend. I know a lot of people got rained out of various things, but I enjoyed it. Just being inside and hearing the wind howl and seeing the rain come down hard. And it's still kind of happening. It really is. It's windy. It's rainy. It's raw. It's autumn. And it's only the 26th of September. So, yeah, right on schedule.
As advertised, mm-hmm. Indeed. Get all those warm and cozy feelings, I guess, your stews and all your activities inside, maybe.
Yeah,
it's good. Take up another hobby.
Good soup weather. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Good crackling fire. Hopefully, if you have a fireplace, the type of weather.
You can have an artificial one.
Yeah, it's not as good. Definitely not as good. Oh, and last night the crickets arrived. They came in like they were on a late night bus or something. But I woke up today and there's crickets everywhere.
Yeah, I think they just gave up. They're like, okay, this is not late summer. They forget it.
I don't know.
Seek shelter.
What do they do? Because they're big to start with. So they're waiting someplace for some kind of starting gun announcing autumn. And then all of a sudden you have crickets hopping all over the place. You never see baby crickets, you know? You just see the big ones.
Well, they're very tiny when they're emerging.
Uh-huh. And they don't make much noise at all. But when they're big, they make all the... You never see them making the noise, though. Oh, my God. I'm going to drive myself crazy again this autumn. You hear a cricket, and you see a cricket, but the sound doesn't match.
Oh, they can throw sound like something.
The ultimate ventriloquist, yes. And, you know, I've gotten into trouble by saying I'm not convinced that crickets are making that sound. And people say, what, are you crazy? Of course they're making it. Okay, then prove it to me. And of course they can't. And then all kinds of hostility and bitterness ensues.
And other insects and bugs out there get involved.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
It's a real cornucopia of sound.
You just wanted to use that word, didn't you?
I did. Uh-huh, I did. Uh-huh. It's a very autumnal word.
How's the garden?
The garden, well, soaked, soggy, and really... I've got some kind of bug in the software on the automated.
You've got all
system.
Kinds of bugs.
It's really kind of crazy. Bugs. There's also like a I'll just say it, a yellow jacket colony.
No, we talked about this.
Yeah.
In fact, we were going to do something about it, but we actually signed a peace treaty with the yellow jackets because
we came to terms.
We were about to spray them with what was the magical?
Well, a natural oil.
What was it? It was peppermint or something?
I think that was one of the things that was advised.
We actually went to a natural food store and bought peppermint. Peppermint oil or whatever it is. And
whoa. Let's just leave it at that.
Well, okay, but we got what we needed.
We can use it if we need it.
We were making plans to spray them at a distance and run quickly. It doesn't kill them, but it convinces them to leave. And while we were out there discussing it, they're buzzing around, they're coming and going, and I realized, you know, they're living their lives, they're not bothering us, they're beneficial because they hunt down pests in the garden. Why don't we just see what happens? As long as we don't get stung, I'm going to consider them peaceful, and we can coexist. And that's how it's been so far. We haven't gotten stung.
Truly, yeah. It's been peaceful for the most part. Occasionally, we see weary yellow jackets that have found their way indoors, but they're guided, so uh-huh. to speak, transported outside, like the same system used for any other spider.
They don't
have
social security
crickets.
For elderly yellow jackets, so they just try and make their way as best they can.
It's been surprising in some cases to just find one all of a sudden just sort of mm-hmm. meandering about a space you would not have expected.
Disoriented,
an like
doesn't
that.
Know anything about their past, who they're related to, or anything like that. It's kind of sad.
Mm-hmm.
But what are you going
to
do?
Things are getting... they're getting ready to really turn. I'm noticing a lot more leaves falling, and I guess, yeah, it's time to start thinking about raking.
Noticed a few trees falling, too, in the last
harvesting.
Few days because of that wind.
There are a lot of branches out there, and it can be slippery. too, on all kinds of surfaces.
Yeah, on the subject of not getting stung by yellow jackets.
Oh, yes.
We're being bitten by everything imaginable out there. So it's not like, you know, we're not enticing enough, but there are so many different, you were just commenting on this at great length yesterday about how many damn bites you have.
Well, it's sort of the catch 22, the give and take of like being active outdoors and enjoying the beauty, natural beauty, and getting that fresh air and so forth and taking it all in, but you don't want to take everything in.
No.
And so you have to really get into good habits and use whatever kind of protective sprays. Well, we've dealt with this on our travel excursions.
There are
become familiar with ways to keep things at bay.
There are good sprays and bad sprays, and we're not using the bad sprays.
Well, you can get the heavy duty stuff if you need it, but it's you know, it's easy to maintain if you have some of the other, just a variety of other stuff to use, you know, in your toolbox there. But that and the kind of clothing and so forth. But even then, you come back and you have like mystery bites, or you don't really know where it's, what's going on.
Yeah.
There are very, very tiny creatures out there, especially in this type of season where it's been exceptionally warm. I mean, I'm not an expert. I'm just theorizing mostly. By my intuition says, you know, that it has been so warm. There's just a lot of stuff that is still out and about,
right?
And looking for creatures like us to benefit from.
I don't get how they do that, because they're so tiny. They're just waiting for us to go by, and they pounce, I guess. But what do they do the rest of the day? They're just sitting around, you know, smoking a cigarette, just passing scene, and waiting for a human to amble on.
I just realized
that
never in my life I've been outside a lot in different climates and traveled a whole lot, but it is truly wild if you're just even casually interfacing with the outside. There are, I'm learning, you know, backtracking from like a bite and different stings and things, like, okay, what is this? I'm learning about species just by trying to retrace what happened.
You don't have to go outside to get bitten either. They'll come inside. You'll get mosquitoes, you'll get spiders, you'll get all kinds of things at night. You wake up in the morning and what happened to me? So it can be a lot. So the important thing is to know what you're dealing with, to know if you're particularly susceptible to anything. And, you know, if it's just an inconvenience, you deal with it. And it's the price you pay for living in nature or living near nature.
But, yeah, I mean, I saw a spider catch a stink bug the other day.
See? And the spiders, for the most part, are working for us.
It's a balance, because if you don't roll over, you don't, like, you know, accidentally encroach on their space, you can actually be all right. But this is the time when you start running into the spider webs.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be condescending there.
Oh, go ahead.
But spiders aren't working for us, they're working with us. So it's a partnership. It's not like they're, you know, some employees of ours or anything like that.
Right, they're working for our benefit sort of indirectly.
Right,
yeah.
I just don't want to offend.
Yeah. All right. No, that's a fair way to put it, but their souls have their own drive.
I used to be so afraid of spiders, and now, you know, I see them as comrades, you know, in a weird way. But you know, there's so many different kinds. They're pretty formidable.
And they can bite you too.
They can hurt you good. So be careful. Don't offend a spider.
So yeah, I mean, the gardens, the outside, the nature is progressing along, and this is that time of transition. I suspect when it gets colder, a lot of the insects will quiet and die down slowly,
right,
as we descend into the winter.
If we have a winter this year.
Well, that's a conditional if, yeah.
I want a winter this year. I want two. I said this. I didn't forget. I want two winters this year because we didn't get one last year.
Uh-huh.
And how's that going to work? We're probably going to have to travel to get to one. So we're going to work that out somehow. But I expect a winter to show up here. Significant snow. Blizzards, that kind of thing.
I'm buying snowshoes. I'm going to build a sleigh. It's going to happen.
Uh-huh. I'll just walk around with skis and just wait for the snow.
Yeah, yeah. Why not?
All right.
Be ready. That's what I always think about.
Enough pleasantries. We have to deal with the rest of the world out there. The rest of the world. Okay. Let's start with Long Island. My God. Okay. this whole thing we've been talking about as far as mascot names, you know, for teams, for high school teams, let's not insult indigenous people by having names that target them and objectify them. State law says you can't do that anymore. You can't have a name that insults indigenous people, Native Americans.
Because it's like the minimum you could do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Totally yeah. makes sense. It's the least non-indigenous communities could do just in acknowledging the past and understanding what that is like.
Right.
Even if you don't necessarily directly identify with that culture, you can see that historically actually honoring their wishes and making a statement like this could actually go a long way to retelling the history in ways that put it in context. And that is the healthy thing for an educational institution to do, right?
So it's related to no more Washington Redskins.
Right.
Now you have the Washington Commanders.
Well, they've led. They were pushed, but they've led in a lot of ways.
And amazingly, we got through that. Amazingly, we're okay. The Cleveland Indians. You know, you'll never change their name. Well, you know, Cleveland Guardian seems to work just fine. So, yeah, you know, we can update our sensitivities here, our caring about other people, consideration. It's a simple thing, except in Massapequa. Yeah, that's where the serial killer came from. I don't know if it's related, but the Massapequa School District has filed a lawsuit against the New York State Board of Regents. They did this on Thursday, claiming, you ready for this, Kyle? The agency violated its constitutional rights when it banned the use of Native American mascots, team names, and imagery in public schools. They think it's a free speech issue for them to be racist and insulting. They want to be able to do this. The Massapequa School District. It's not a bunch of Massapequa rednecks. No, it's the damn school district. Now, the ban, we've talked about many times on the air, codified in May, says affected schools had to resolve to do away with the team names and imagery by June of 2022. It was codified in May. I guess it was retroactive. Eradicate all references to the name and imagery by the end of the 2024-2025 school year. Plenty of time. Massapequa goes by the name Chiefs and is one of 13 Long Island districts affected by the statute. The chief is more than a logo to our schools and community, the Board of Education wrote in a letter on its website. It is our history and our heritage. Yeah, your history and heritage are a bunch of racists. I don't know if you want to be honoring that so much. I'm sorry, slipping back into the quote here. When we speak of the Massapequa chief, we do so with pride and respect. Yeah, of course, because you're talking about your team. That makes sense, too. But try asking an indigenous person. Try asking somebody from the Shinnecock tribe. All right, try asking somebody from any tribe in the country, you know, see what the consensus is there. Let me just finish that quote. As a board, we are united in our efforts to stand up for our community and years of tradition. Well, that's really honorable and inspiring, but it is completely wrong and a waste of time. So the state has said schools that don't comply risk losing state aid and the removal of school officers, although the state said this is a last resort. Now, other Long Island schools have signaled an intent to challenge the ban. Amityville, Compsawag, which is right here in Port Jefferson Station, Wyandanch, Wantagh, all of which go by Warriors, and Sachem, the Flaming Arrows, adopted the resolution to change their names while stipulating they maintain the right to push back against the state's regulation. Some of these schools said they were open to eradicating their mascot while keeping their team names. The state, though, said names such as Warriors must go if they were ever associated with indigenous imagery. All right, so if you're just Warriors and, you know, you're not talking about indigenous people, and it's pretty obvious by looking at your imagery, what team logos you use, if it's a guy with a Indian headdress, well, yeah, I think maybe that's what you were doing, and you can't do that anymore. And just keeping the name isn't good enough because it evokes those images.
They're missing an opportunity to really just make a change in general, because they're on the wrong side of it. They might lose this sort of funding. It might cost something, but they could benefit a lot by putting some thought into a new mascot and a new name and forgetting about clinging so dearly to this history that it really is made up in the first place. Mm-hmm. Why not completely change it, comply, move on, and play the games mm-hmm. With some really cool new imagery, new graphics, and have fun with it. Like, this doesn't have to be agony. Yet they want to cite this made up tradition, this tradition that they're making out to be so much more than it was a choice that was made at a time when this was when these things were less considered.
What it does to kids, you know, the kids who witness this, who are part of those teams, the messages they're getting.
Well, it sets an example. Yeah,
absolutely. And you know, you see that reflected in their actions. What's going on out in Riverhead, where kids in middle school are using the N-word against black parents in that district. How does this happen? It happens because the adults set the example. Just this week, they're finding all kinds of hate symbols scratched into desks out in Riverhead right now. Where is this coming from? I mean, it doesn't come from kids. Kids learn it. And that's what's going to be happening in Massapequa if they continue with this nonsense. Listen to this. This is from the complaint. This is unbelievable, this quote. So everybody just pay attention.
Buckle up.
Yeah, if you're driving. Tribes cannot be the sole decision makers on whether a school district's use of an indigenous name, logo, or mascot is legal. They are not elected officials accountable to constituents. So what they're saying basically is that the white people who are elected get to decide what's offensive and what is not. Not the the tribes. They don't get to do that. They don't get to decide what is legal and what is not. No. They have no say. And that is what you are saying. If you challenge, but like, listen to what people who are affiliated with the tribes say. It's offensive when you say you're trying to honor us. That's Shinnecock Chairman Brian Polite said this earlier this year. That's hogwash. If that were true, talk to someone from the local tribe. You honor us by incorporating our history into the curriculum, having a cultural exchange, having the students come to a powwow, and writing a paper over the summer. Massapequa, are you doing any of that? Oh, boy. It's sad. It is sad. We have to do better. This is local. This is here on Long Island, and it's just, it's so shameful because, you know, we keep electing ignorant people that have no concept of multiculturalism, no respect for it, and they spread this hate and ignorance, and it just grows. It's like a garden of hate, a garden of stupidity. And when you ask yourself what is the price of being considerate? Of asking people, is it okay to do this since it's invoking your culture, and listening to the answer, how does that hurt us?
Or demonstrating that things can change, that adults can adapt and change and appreciate a different way of looking at our surroundings and labeling and identifying different things and being proud, like taking pride in your team, that they're missing out on that lesson that it's survivable. We can change consensus and actually get down to enjoying and having that pride in a way that really is thoughtful to everyone in the community.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not hard. It is not hard to change your ways and to alter course. And it's actually a healthy thing. It's a good thing. It shows that you're mature. It shows that you're learning. You know, people just resent this so much, and it's sad.
The idea that it's such an affront to something that you do not have ownership of, culturally.
That statement just got me, though. You know, yeah. Native American people don't have the right to tell us.
It's so paternal.
What's offensive? Mm-hmm. No, only elected officials, they get to do that. Please. All right. Massapequa, do better, for God's sake. Let's see. We have elections coming up. Okay, I don't know if you remember this, but basically there was some controversy involving the Suffolk County Legislature. Republicans successfully were able to kick somebody off the ballot. This guy named Sidney Joyner. He was ruled ineligible because he doesn't live in the newly redrawn district that covers parts of West Hills, Huntington Station, South Huntington, Elwood, and Brentwood. Republicans said it's not right to have somebody who doesn't live in the district represent the legislature, so kick him off. African-American guy, no problem kicking him off. Meanwhile, you got the Republican representative, white guy, who represents us, does not live in our district. He lives in, I think, Amityville, and represents us right here in Stony Brook. And I'm talking about Nick LaLotta, who is our current representative and basically is somebody who signs on to all the things that we're criticizing about multiculturalism and all that. His latest thing, he's upset at the asylum seekers coming to New York. Okay, you know, these people who are complaining and going nuts over the fact that there are people coming from other countries to seek asylum here, they were basically making it an issue months ago at the border, saying, this is ridiculous. All these people are at the border. It's unfair to the border towns. Okay, so now they're coming to New York. Oh my God, no, we can't have them here in New York. They have to go back. I mean, do you know anything about the history of this country? Do you know what it says on the Statue of Liberty? You know, we're supposed to be welcoming to people who are fleeing all kinds of tyranny and poverty and injustice, just like your ancestors did, you know? I won't say they were welcomed with open arms, but they certainly weren't turned back because you're here now. We can't do that. We can't do that for these people that are fleeing all kinds of hell, people who want to help us. Have you seen pictures of them? Have you seen pictures of the people coming across the border? Because I see families. I see toddlers. How are these people a threat? Why are we being such idiots about this and having demonstrations against them? What kind of message does that send about the people that we are?
Yeah, it's going to really make them feel like they have good neighbors if and when they do end up here.
I feel so sorry for them. I really do.
It just adds to the hostility.
And people like Nick LaLotta and the Nassau County executive and Blakeman, and they're a dime a dozen. They're everywhere. They all have their hatred to spew, making these people the problem. Now, is there a crisis? Yes, it's a crisis. Is it being handled properly? Probably not. But you can't point the finger at one person, at one political party. It's something we all have to work on together. And Congress is not passing immigration reform, so you can't just point the finger at Biden and say, you're not doing it. He's not doing it because Congress isn't giving him something to sign. Or they'll appeal it in court, and he'll wind up losing. Biden has actually been trying to reduce the number of people allowed into the country and being overturned in court. But Republicans have nothing to say about that. So instead of working with the guy to try and find some kind of common ground, they would rather just point fingers and make it like he's inviting everybody to come here and you know, have no background check or anything, you know, just making it something that people can be afraid of. And it's working. It's working. People actually believe that somehow it's Biden's fault, even though this has been going on for quite some time and it's happening all over the world. It's a worldwide problem, and a problem that the first world is very much a part of. You know, we prop up some of these regimes, and we basically help put their economies into a tailspin. You know, we have some responsibility here. We're a prosperous nation. We should be helping out those who aren't doing so well. And maybe making it so that they don't have to flee their homes. How about that? But you ask these people to help, they won't do a thing. They won't do anything. They want the suffering to continue. They want to take no responsibility. It just is so frustrating because you see the political plays that they are putting out, and they are working. there was this poll over the weekend that showed Trump up by, what, 10% over Biden? Did you see this?
I heard about it, yeah.
It was crazy. Oh, by the way, I didn't finish the story. Let me just finish that story quickly.
Yeah, go ahead.
About the Suffolk County legislature. Yeah, so they had somebody to replace the guy, the African American that they kicked off the ballot, which was no problem at all for them to do that. They you know, they can look the other way for one guy, but not for another. And now, obviously, you have to replace the person that got kicked off with somebody else. And Republicans are saying, no, you can't do that either. You can't replace one candidate with another. Hang on, I'm trying to find their logic here. The logic is hidden somewhere in this article. A state Supreme Court judge Friday ruled that Rebecca Sanin, who is a Democrat running for the Suffolk County Legislature, can appear on the November 7th ballot after Suffolk Republicans tried to stop her as well. They were saying the petition was not what was improper because it wasn't her petition. It was the guy that they got kicked off, and that she couldn't use that to become a candidate. So she'd have to start over again, but it's too late to start over again. So they basically don't want to have any opposition. That is how the Republicans are trying to make things play out throughout the country. Just eliminate the competition, or just make it so that people can't vote, or make it so that, you know, it's you need 60% instead of 51%. You know, whatever dirty tricks they'll pull out of their hats, they'll do it.
Yeah, complete like disillusionment, I think, is a broad way to describe it.
You know, it would be funny if it wasn't working, and it is working. It's crazy to think that. Are we really that simple that just because somebody says this is this person's fault, you know? I mean, you have Donald Trump going to the picket lines tomorrow for the auto workers, and we talked about this last week. Who is dumb enough to think that he supports the auto workers?
There were some
auto workers who believe that he's on their side.
No, he's going to a non-union supplier shop.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I heard there's details to this, I think. I don't know exactly what it is.
But who's going to be there? There are auto workers, I assume, will be there.
I'm sure, and
they'll be supporting him. And he is the first person who would want to ship their jobs out of this country. First person who would want to cut their pay or just have them laid off. You know, you had Joe Biden on the picket line today calling for a 40% increase, calling for the auto workers to get the same kind of benefits that the auto companies are getting. They're doing very well. Why aren't the employees doing very well? Very, you know, basic message. And he is still getting blamed for all kinds of things that for some reason, they don't ever point the finger at Trump for these same issues. All right, so then you have a 10-point lead, you know, after all this, after all the indictments, after all the craziness of the 4 years that we all lived through. This is actually real. Now, of course, it's seen as what they call an outlier, this particular poll. The pollsters themselves actually said that, which made other people say, well, if you think it's something that is not really indicative of what people are feeling, why did you release it? Yeah, the Washington Post ABC poll is what this was known as. One expert said, how could you even publish a poll so absurd on its face? This will be a lingering embarrassment for you, meaning Washington Post and ABC. It's just plain embarrassing for them. New York Times chief political analyst Nate Cohn criticized the poll that said Trump was ahead of Biden, referring to a post ABC poll in May that found Trump was up 7 percentage points on Biden, which was similarly inconsistent with most polling. Cohn wrote on Twitter, it's really, really hard to release outlying poll results, so you've got to give credit to ABC/Post here. But I do have a fairly major quibble with ABC/Post if you release consecutive outlying poll results, you don't get to dismiss your results. If it happens twice in a row in the same race, it's clear that this is the result of some element of your approach, and you either need to decide you're good with it and defend it, or you need to go home. So, yeah, there are issues. But the fact that we're even discussing this, the fact that it's even something that's plausible, that Trump can get all this support despite all the craziness, all the nonsense. Just today, a judge ruled that Trump committed fraud for years while building the real estate empire that catapulted him to fame and to the White House. Judge Arthur Engoron ruled today in a civil lawsuit brought by New York's Attorney General, found the former president and his company deceived banks, insurers, and others by massively overvaluing his assets and exaggerating his net worth on paperwork used in making deals and securing financing. That decision, days before the start of a non-jury trial in Attorney General Letitia James's lawsuit, is the strongest repudiation yet of Trump's carefully crafted image as a wealthy and shrewd real estate mogul turned political powerhouse. Fraud, you know, it's right out there. It's and you can keep dismissing this as much as you want, but the evidence is really piling up in a variety of arenas. At some point, we have to stop saying it's a conspiracy and start realizing that it's reality and we have to act accordingly. I mean, can you imagine they actually put this guy back in power, what he will do? Okay, let me try to outline this. All these people imprisoned for their role in the insurrection on January 6th, all of them will get released. All of them will be out there. They'll all be angry. And any kind of opposition to the Trump agenda will be treated the same way as the January 6th rioters were treated in court. People will go to prison for criticizing the Trump regime. You think it's outrageous now? Well, think about all the things that are happening today that we thought would be outrageous 5 years ago, yeah, 10 years ago. So it's a very real danger if we keep closing our eyes to the reality. And I just see more and more of this. And a lot of it is because people are trying to be quote-unquote fair, trying to both sides everything, trying to say, okay, well, you know, this side can't be completely right, so let's say that the other side is, you know, right half the time. When reality says otherwise, when the facts are pretty clear, and you have to have one hell of a conspiracy, one hell of a global conspiracy, for all these different people, all these different courts, all these different organizations to reach similar conclusions. And yet, we keep acting like it is a big conspiracy. Now, when I say we, obviously I don't mean pretty much most of the people I know, probably most of the people listening, but there are a significant number of people who believe this. They're around us, and we need to do a better job reaching them, try and get them back into, some semblance of sanity. Yeah, I know people don't like it when you call them insane. They don't like it when you act like you have all the facts and they're ignorant. It's not a good approach. But something is latching on and making people come to crazy conclusions. And we have yet to figure out how to dissuade them from doing this. I mean, did anyone think this was going to be the reality we were facing a decade ago? You know, if it were some kind of TV melodrama, I think we would have said that's unrealistic. It's bad writing. It's what we got.
Yeah, the collective memory needs to recall better. There's so, I think there's so little experience and so much has been glossed over and told in really shallow terms that people don't understand this sort of severity. And by people, I mean some of the new voters, a lot of the people that are going to be coming into this process or turned away from it, depending on, you know, how things go.
Mm-hmm.
But it's undeserved. And I think a lot of people like myself who've been around, you know, experiencing quite a bit of the promise and the terms that are used about what we are as a country start to ring ever hollower in a lot of regards.
Mm-hmm.
So the way that this is being characterized and the way that the politicians are using and trying to convince people of things that are totally not true and just scapegoat on the other side on a party that is much more for people. I think it's just emblematic of how little credibility they have. And I think that both sides thing is just, it's so undeserved. Like they don't deserve any of that. And to try, like they're not going to do any kind of work unless really forced to. They've had so many opportunities, but the play is their way or disintegration.
Well, that's
complete disintegration. And I can't work with that.
Mm-hmm.
And zero credibility.
That's what we're facing. We're facing that this week with House Republicans.
They want to shut everything down.
They're going
to
shut the government down if they don't get exactly what they want. They're turning on each other. Get the popcorn. We'll watch that happen. But the bigger picture, though, has to do with how legitimate they treat people who are clearly not qualified to be doing the job in the first place. And I think, you know, there might be some kind of allure as far as that goes. People who are not your typical politicians. Okay, you know, there's something to be said for that. But if you have somebody who's completely unqualified and basically wants to destroy the office that they hold, that's not a good thing. It might feel good for a moment, but it's not going to turn out well. You know, Democrats have a lot of problems. Menendez, he needs to go, obviously.
Oh, fully.
Corrupt senators. Yeah, but, you know, they're saying that. And he will go. At some point, he will go. That is a whole process. And yeah, you can point to challenges. You know, okay, Biden is 80 years old. That's a challenge, but, you know, Trump is 77, and you're telling me that he is more capable than Biden? I mean, listen to him talk. Listen to him talk in front of a crowd. Is he talking in front of a crowd today? He might be. I know tomorrow he is. He's not going to the debate because he's afraid to actually debate issues. Biden obviously would be able to debate issues, but they've made him being 80 some kind of an issue when it's really not. Yeah, he's 80. There's no question. He's a little frail. There's no question. Sometimes he gets the words wrong, but you know what? He always got the words wrong sometimes. You can't just hold him up and not hold up the other guy too, who is almost the same age. If you don't do that, you're not being fair. And for some reason, you're not being fair.
And oh yeah, a criminal. Like facing
and there's that
criminal allegations.
Yes,
just the depth.
Oh, Biden's son is a criminal. You know, that's the best they can do. And somehow they're able to make Biden's son, you know, flouting the law, the same as Donald Trump, basically having 91 counts against him.
It's just like the again trying to equate it, and that's one aspect. When you break it down into components, mm-hmm. it's like, well, what has some of the senior Republican leadership that knows better, that didn't, you know, ally with Mitt Romney and anybody, and it tried to go away from Trump. I'm thinking Lindsey Graham here, who just to stick around the depths they had to align themselves with, they have zero credibility.
Yeah.
None whatsoever.
But the thing to study is the panic, the fear. And I can't get my head around this. You're an elected official, and you don't want to cross Donald Trump because what? I mean, this isn't Soviet Russia or even current day Russia where you know you could wind up toppling out of a building if you criticize the wrong person. We're not quite there yet. We might get there. It's entirely possible. The pathway certainly exists. But in this particular case, okay, so you run afoul of Trump and you get primaried. and some crazy Marjorie Taylor Greene person takes over your spot. Okay, why is that something people are so deathly afraid of? You can get another job, right? I mean, well, am I not thinking this through?
I don't think they projected out what it would lead to a point of no return, uh-huh. where basically the opportunity passed to try to prevent it. Now those people, even though they're a minority, are having actual influence on very important things that, like in this case, might end up in the government shutting down.
Cheney did, okay? Totally. Cheney did the right thing. A Republican, I don't agree with her on most things, but she did the right thing challenging Trump, and she got voted out. But why is that a bad thing? It's a bad thing she got voted out, and that just speaks to the ignorance of people. But what she did was honorable. Why are people afraid to do that? Because, you know, she seems to be doing okay, not being, you know, an elected official anymore, but she can live with herself. Why are there other elected officials so afraid to do that? That's what I can't understand. You know, that mortal fear, and, you know, especially people that are in the cabinet that, you know, would take a bullet for Trump. Why do you care about this guy? Why can't you speak the truth? And a lot of them finally did speak the truth, usually when they wrote a book, but it's, I just don't understand that fierce loyalty to somebody who obviously doesn't care about you and will stab you in the back first opportunity.
Yeah. There's so much, now with all the investigations, hearing from so many administration officials, all of them writing books, all of them being interviewed. And I can't get over when they're talking okay, this is what you signed up for. This was your guy.
Right.
As is said to me when, you know, a Democrat has some sort of electoral win or something. Yeah. Oh, your guy won. Oh, yeah. Well, this is your guy.
Yeah. You got into the boat with a scorpion, so don't be surprised.
Right. Right. And so your credibility, sure, you learned some things. You had growth. I am so thrilled for you. Now you can admit it. You can even critique your own path. That's fantastic for you.
You know, I think,
but the damage, the lack of credibility, it stands.
I think, Colin, what I ponder this. I think we're just cowards for the most part, I think, because, you know, just everyday events where you have to stand up and say something in an unjust situation, most of us chicken out or just would rather not, or I don't want to get involved. That's not my fight, even when it is your fight. I think that is what we need to work on, is that standing up for what's right, even when it goes against what might benefit you. That's something that we seem to have kind of forgotten. And even when it's so obvious, you know, that somebody is a jerk, somebody doesn't care about you or other people, you still won't dare say something.
Dunk more. These fools cannot play.
You know, kids get in trouble in school for you know, speaking against a teacher or something like that, even when they're doing something bad. And, we need to reward such behavior. If somebody is being honest and courageous, that's a good thing. And I, you know, the thing about the Liz Cheney thing in particular, it's shameful that she got voted out because she did that. That apparently is how people are now. And that's a real problem. That's not going away with Trump. That's who we are. We need to do better. You know, I was watching the return of that spacecraft with the pieces of the asteroid on it. That was the most amazing thing. Did you see this? It was out in space, millions and millions of miles away, 200 million miles away, really far away. It dove into an asteroid, grabbed a Coke can full of material, and was able to bring it back to the desert in Utah, where these scientists were able to retrieve it and take it into a clean room. I was watching the video of this. It was like they were encountering an alien. They had all these people in clean suits surrounding this little capsule, taking pictures of it. It was so cool. And I realized, wow, this is what humans can do. This is amazing. We're able to actually send spacecraft out to an asteroid get a sample of it, bring it back, have it completely contained, and for decades, they say, they will be studying this and learning so much about the birth of the solar system and so much more. We are capable of incredible things if we put our minds to it, if we work together. That is what I believe we should be aspiring to, you know, those kinds of accomplishments. And instead, what you see on the news every day is just the latest stupidity, you know, the worst of us. And it just makes us believe that's all we can be. That's all we're capable of. It's so not true. You know, we see these ridiculous polls that, ask, do you believe in this moron next to this other person? The way questions are phrased, all of a sudden this person gets elevated and legitimized. When's the last time you got a poll that asked you what you thought of your fellow citizen, of us as a people, of what we're accomplishing as individuals? You know, I'd like to be able to answer that. I'd like to be able to say, we're doing a terrible job. You know, the American faith in the American people is at an all-time low. Instead of always hearing about how everyone's criticizing Biden. Well, that's his job, okay? He gets criticized for everything, even if he's got nothing to do with it. You know, the Seattle Mariners looks like they're not going to make the World Series yet again, Kyle. It's Biden's fault. I don't have time to explain why, but he could have done something, and he didn't. All right. So presidents always get blamed, and his poll numbers are sinking. But there's more than just that. If you keep asking that over and over again, it becomes an issue. But are we doing okay? I don't think we are. I really don't think we are, because we keep putting these ninnies in power that don't understand so much, that keep making bad decisions, that are pushing us backward, helping climate change to advance more than ever, not addressing it at all, and spreading fear and hatred and ignorance. And yet they keep getting reelected and new ones keep coming out of the woodwork. Meanwhile, we have all these people that are capable of incredible things, like exploring asteroids and God knows what else. You don't see them making these decisions. They're the ones that have to beg the idiots for funding in the first place, people who don't understand any of this. And then you have people saying, yeah, Native Americans shouldn't be deciding what's offensive to Native Americans. No, the elected officials, they should be doing that. So, yeah, pollsters, give me a call. Ask me what I think about the American people right now. We'll talk.
So much to talk about. Yeah. They will call. So participate in polls, let's be honest. And even the outlier polls, that's fine too.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get a lot of other polls to compare with.
Eventually it's all going to work out one way or another. I don't want to sound hopelessly naive, but we do have a judicial system. We do have right now it's in tatters. I'm not saying, maybe our system will fall apart and another system will replace it. Eventually, I didn't say it would be tomorrow. It could be hundreds of years. But what did happen today, this is good news. The Supreme Court, handed another defeat to Alabama Republicans. Basically the second time they said the same thing in 3 months, rejecting their latest attempt to use a congressional map that includes only one majority black district. Now, the decision was in line with the Supreme Court ruling against the state in June that reaffirmed a key provision of the landmark Voting Rights Act. And basically Alabama just didn't obey that. I'm not sure why they're going to obey this. one of the lawyers who helped challenge the map said Alabama's open defiance of the Voting Rights Act stops today. She expressed hope that the decision might prompt Alabama to rethink their dogged resistance to providing equal political opportunities to black Alabamians. The Supreme Court's earlier ruling forced the state back to the drawing board, but they just didn't do it. They made a new map that was just like the old one. hopefully now they actually are forced to obey the law. We'll see.
The animus for fellow man hour is nearing an end. Mm-hmm. We love bringing this conflict to your face, and we'll join you again in subsequent weeks.
Why are you signing off? We're not ready to go yet.
Oh, no. That wasn't the end. No. We have more animus to discuss.
Concluding words, I guess. It's almost time.
I could go on and on.
No, we could sink
that low, though.
Of animus to in case somebody gets locked out of the building, we're ready to go.
Spare animus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you can write to us with your animus, otw@2600.com. That's off the wall. But don't spell that out. I don't think that works. otw@2600.com your thoughts, feelings, things like that. We're going to keep an eye on all these developments. They're fascinating. I sure hope we learn a thing or two. I sure hope we listen to each other. I sure hope we pay attention because, there's a lot going on out there that is super important. Remember, the kids are paying attention to what we as adults do. And they reflect that, and it's not always in the best way. So let's be our best selves out there. Think about what we're saying. Think about what we're doing. And I guess that's pretty much a good note to end on. We will be back next week with another action-packed edition of Off the Wall. In the meantime, stay tuned to WUSB around the clock. And we will see you on the other side.
Be good to yourself.
Have a good night. Bye.
Screw up the face, throw on the violence, kill my face. Come string out the horn, string out. Hometown high five, right on, sweetheart. Swing up the high.